multifamily mindset
podcast.
Think bigger.
Woo! Aloha, y'all. Welcome to the Multifamily Mindset Podcast with Tyler Devereaux, Jackson Campbell, and man, thank you for being here, Jay. What's up, bro?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Doing so good.
You've been traveling. We haven't really sat down to record for a while, so it's nice to be back in the helm with you doing some recording, man.
I'm pumped
to be here. Welcome to those that are just tuning in for the first time. Freaking pumped to have you here. Today's an Aloha Friday episode where I get to sit down with Tyler Devereaux, ask him some questions. We're going to dive into market predictions, kind of what the market's doing with the rates, and then kind of what you should do as the Fed slash those rates. Yeah. Next year, kind of how to prepare for that. We'll be diving into that. But again, if it's your first time here, definitely tune in every day. Monday through Thursday, we've got episodes with Dallas Pruitt, The Daily Drip. Those are awesome, powerful, mindset-oriented episodes. 3 to 5 minutes, get your day started off good. Also, before we dive in, one last thing. We got Peak Partnership coming up.
Yeah.
Tyler, what are you most excited about for Peak Partnership?
See everybody. That's my favorite part.
The unity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing everybody. Yeah, yeah. I love seeing everybody being able to collaborate together. Like, it's my favorite event of the year because it's like a big, I literally look at it like it's a big reunion.
I look at it the same way.
Awesome speakers, right? Like, that's great. And we have awesome ones, dude. David Goggins. Listen, man, I just heard Jamie Kern Lima speak.
Yeah.
In Dallas. Holy hell. She's amazing. She's delivered one of the best keynotes I've ever seen. I'm dead serious.
From that Tony Robbins, dude, and I've heard that from multiple people that were there, that yeah. She just absolutely rocked it, dude. I'm so excited to
Incredible.
Have her peak, dude. That's going to be awesome.
And what's so fun is, like, there was a couple students in at Tony Robbins' event at Tony Robbins' event who came up after, and they're like, I think Trey Jacobs was one of them. He's like, bro, you need to have her at peak. And I was like, she is. He's like, what? She is?
Yeah, we're on top of it.
Yeah, I'm like, he's like, you're kidding me. I'm like, no. So, dude, huge shout out real quick to Rory Vaden. Rory, man, I appreciate you so much because I had went to a mastermind with Rory, and he had told me, he's like, dude, you need to get Jamie at your event. And I didn't know much about Jamie. I didn't.
Yeah.
And he's like, trust me, she's anointed is what he said. Trust me, she's anointed. And I was like, okay. But I didn't know much about her. I just didn't.
Yeah.
But he was adamant. He's like, dude, you've got to get her at your event. So he made the connection. First off, he made the connection for Jim Quick. He made the connection for David Goggins. And he also made the connection for Jamie Kern Lima. And I am very grateful. So, Rory, thank you so much, bro. Appreciate you, your friendship, and for making those connections. And I am so excited to have Jamie at our event and for her new book to come out. And we need to get Rory at our event soon. So there you go, Rory. We need you at our event.
Oh, I would love to have that, dude. Rory is one of those individuals. He's like, he's so well connected.
Oh,
sneaky connected.
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
Yeah.
He has provided so much value, not only to you, but to the network and to Multifamily Mindset, dude. It's been no, great shout out. I'm so glad you shouted him out. But it's gonna be an amazing event, so make sure you tune in if you haven't got your tickets yet for that. There's definitely a link in the bio here, so definitely grab your tickets for Peak Partnership. It's gonna be awesome. But Tyler, let's dive in. Is there anything you wanna like highlight before we dive into today's episode regarding kind of the market of what's going on, or should we just dive in with these questions?
I think we dive in. I'll say this, man. If you're wondering, right, you're sitting on the sidelines, or you're not on the sidelines, you're in the game, and you're wondering what you should be doing, hopefully today's episode will help.
Yeah.
I think today's episode will help. And listen, nobody has a crystal ball, including myself.
Yep.
But I'll tell you how we play the game and how it's a way of thinking, right? It's a way of thinking that then directs your actions, which is beautiful.
Yeah, dude, I love that. I love that that's where you started this out at, is it's a way of thinking, because it is. It's a mindset when these things pops up that are not necessarily in our control. And we'll dive into that a little bit more for sure. But Tyler, just as we dive into this episode, let's give a high-level overview of so first question is, what's going on with the interest rates right now, and how does it affect multifamily investments?
Okay, so interest rates have risen a ton. So to bring some context around this, right? Interest rates were at historic lows in 2020, 2021, first part of 2022. And then about May, June-ish, if I remember right, of 2022, they started to hike up. And then they hiked up all throughout 2023.
Mm-hmm. Just kept going.
Crazy amounts, man. Like, I can't remember the exact, let's see. Well, actually, just paint this picture. In 2021, we could get rates for you know, on these apartment deals, right around, like, I think the best rate we got was like 2.8-2.9%, which is crazy.
It's amazing.
Now, if we were to lock a deal up, it'd be, you know, mid sixes, 6.5-ish percent. So that's a big rise in interest rates, man. Big rise. So a shitload, a huge rise. And what was your question with it?
How does it affect multifamily?
Okay, so it makes a lot. I mean, we use a lot of debt on these properties. These are big properties. We leverage our ability to buy these properties. Really, it comes down to the liquidity in the market, both from investors, right? Their appetite to get into the market, and then the liquidity from the debt market. So how easily accessible debt is. Mm-hmm. And what's ended up happening is you have a couple things. If you're getting in and buying a property, well, it's harder to get one to pencil out because the interest rates have risen, which means numbers, your debt payments have risen. Your average loan to value has decreased a bunch. Like, average loan to value right now is like 60%. And paint that picture. I mean, you know, loan to value, I mean, it depends on where you're buying and what the property is and its asset class and these kind of things. But I mean, you know, 80% loan to value, 75% loan to value, and now, you know, less than 60%.
Yeah, it's big.
It's a big difference. You know, it means you need to raise 40% instead of 20%.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, it makes returns go down. Cash flow returns go down.
Which makes deals a little bit harder to pencil.
Definitely.
For these investors and for you, for yourself as well as an operator.
That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So what is that? What does that meant? Well, that means transaction volume will go down. Because if there's this, usually where interest rates go, cap rates follow.
Okay.
So if interest rates rise, cap rates will follow. And cap rates have followed. Like, I've seen cap rates probably tick up at least 1% in most areas that I've been studying. But there's but I mean, I just told you how much cap rates or interest rates have risen. Yeah. So there's still a gap there. And because of that, there's been less transactional volume. It's like year to date, I think I've read the stat, year to date. So from last year, Q3 of last year compared to Q3 of this year, transactional volume was down like 50%.
It's a lot.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot. The other flip, you know, side of the coin, though, are those who own properties and have loans coming due, and it affects them a couple ways. If they had an adjustable rate, it definitely affects them.
Yep.
We had a couple of properties like that. Huge learning experiences for us there.
Yep.
Just huge learning experiences. Mm-hmm. The other side, though, if you're going to exit, even if you've been in long-term debt and now you're going to exit, your exit price will be impacted because cost of debt is more. People can't afford to pay as much. That'll impact your exit. So lots impacting the multifamily side if you're looking at it the short term.
Okay.
I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
We need to have a long-term focus. Real estate is a long-term game, not a long-term game. Woo. It's also a tongue twister to say that.
Yeah.
Not a short-term game.
No.
There are things in the short term that will certainly impact the long-term game. Mm-hmm. But when I say that we've had some learning lessons with some of the debt we've had, it's because we put in the loan terms we put in should have never been put in. We shouldn't have done those. Too short.
Yeah.
Okay. Learning experiences.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, that breaks down a ton of how that the interest rates really do affect multifamily and the multifamily investment industry. Dude, the feds have announced that they're going to move forward with cutting some of these rates.
Mm-hmm.
Update us there. What's going on there? What does that mean for multifamily?
I think it was just this week that came out, but the Fed came out and said that they're going to slash rates, I think they said 4 or 6 times in 2024, which, listen, just because the Fed, and I would love that to happen. That would be awesome.
Sure.
Okay? But just because the Fed says it's going to happen doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But I will say this. I've been saying that rates will go down. I've literally been talking about this for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Rates will go down the second part of 2024. Why? Because there's an election, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens during elections.
Yeah. Like, it's a market cycle, too.
What do you mean by that?
With the election time and the market, it's that time.
Yeah,
like historically,
yeah.
If we look back, it was more or less the same thing right before.
Follows elections.
Yeah.
It follows the election.
Yeah.
But I believe this. I would love rates to go. Listen, we have a couple. We have a property right now that we're financing in the next 6 months. So I would love interest rates to drop right now so that we can refinance and or exit at a great clip. I just don't believe that's going to happen. I believe that even though, you know, some people say that, and even the Fed says, that they're going to start to increase, or sorry, decrease rates, I don't see that happening until the later part of 2024. And I see it happening at a slow pace, because if they were to come in and do it at a quicker pace, well, then they risk another 1980. So in the 80s, if you go back and look, in the 80s, same type of thing happened where there was inflation, which is why they started to raise the rates in the first place. So there's inflation. They raised rates to cool it off, felt like it had been cooled off, and then started to drop rates. But they dropped rates quickly, and then inflation frickin' blew up. It blew up higher than what it was before. I believe, and I don't want to be like this, you know, the sky's falling type thing, or like this, but I just literally believe that the Fed would rather see us go into a deep recession than to cause more inflation.
Okay.
That's what like massive inflation like that. I do believe rates will drop. I've been saying that for a while. I just believe it'll be at a slower clip and a very conservative clip.
Right.
Definitely not at the same rate that they raised rates. Because they raised rates in an aggressive and honestly...
like never been seen before.
An irresponsible clip.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And that shit pisses me off. But I just don't believe that they're now going to come and drop them as quickly as they raised them.
Right, and fix it all that fast, right? No, that's a very good take. And I'm right there with you on that for sure.
But once again, no crystal ball. I have no idea.
Right.
That's just my take. So but here's what I believe. Like, how does it affect? So coming full circle to your question.
Right.
How does it affect multifamily? Dude, if you can get deals to pencil out right now. And pencil out meaning it has to make sense right now.
Right.
Even with rates where they're at. Then when rates drop, shit. You capitalize massively.
Man, who's ready to think bigger? Listen, Peak Partnership is almost here. It's going to be here very fast, and you need to be there. Okay, you need to join us in Orlando, Florida, March 21st through 23rd, 2024, for the biggest and baddest real estate event that you've been to. Yeah, we're talking lots of networking, lots of inspiration. People like David Goggins, Jim Quick, Jamie Kern Lima, your boy Tyler Devereaux, and a ton more than that. You're going to connect with multifamily professionals that will teach you and show you how to build generational wealth, transform your family legacy with multifamily real estate. And that's all happening at Peak Partnership 2024. It's the third time we're doing this event. And listen, this one will be the biggest one yet. And I will promise you this, you do not want to miss out. So go to peakpartnership.com, reserve your seat. You can click the link in the description to register as well. Can't wait to see you there.
Now, the key though is you cannot buy a property with, you know, a speculatory view that rates may drop. Because then you'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you're buying properties that make sense cash flow wise.
Yeah.
And then put yourself in a position to reap the rewards when and if they do drop.
Yeah, dude. No, so good. So good. Right now you're speaking to more of an operator, dude. What would you say to more of a passive investor into multifamily? Why should they continue to invest passively right now?
It's one of the best opportunities. It's funny, man. It's one of the best opportunities to grow your wealth. With what we're talking about, because now you benefit when rates do drop, which they will eventually drop.
They will, man. Yeah.
They will eventually drop.
Yeah.
And when they do, that's when you capitalize. See, when you come into the market, everyone floods into the market. It's like, dude, history repeats itself time and time again. When the market's hot, people are just throwing money at it. People are throwing money at it because they would rather lose money than lose the opportunity from riding the wave.
Yeah.
And it's almost like if you ride the wave, cool, you ride the wave. But then if things drop, well, everyone was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like this herd mentality that gives them peace of mind. I literally believe that.
Yeah.
So what should investors do though? Invest right now. What if the deal pencils out? You need to know how to underwrite a deal, like literally how to look at the underwriting of a deal to make sure that the projections are conservative. And if they are, that's a deal you should invest in right now.
Yeah.
Because if it works now, like we have a deal called Orlando Sky.
Yeah.
Orlando Sky is in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
Yeah. And the rate on that, geez, my mind just blanked on what the exact rate is. But it's, I want to say 7-something% is what the rate is we have on that. 7.5. I can't remember the exact rate off the top of my head. But it cash flows right now with that rate.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, shit. When rates drop, That is going to be very sexy.
It's going to be a great deal.
I mean, it's already a great deal.
It's already a great deal. It's going to be a fantastic deal at that point. That's it. Yeah. Dude, this is very, 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 very helpful and so knowledgeable, dude. So knowledgeable. Dude, when these – so let's – with all this being said, right, nobody has a crystal ball. This is all speculation of what you think is going to happen and kind of how we can prepare for it. Let's say that the rates do start to drop. What should operators let's answer both operators and investors. What should they do as those rates start to come down? How do they navigate that?
So operators first. Operators need to be in the market. When rates start to drop, there's lots of money on the sidelines that will flood into the market. Flood, both on the debt and the equity side. Which means there's going to be lots of demand. Right now, bro, I can show you my phone. No bullshit. I haven't checked my voicemails today. Oops. I'll just pull open. Like, hold on. Right here. Oh, that's another one. Yeah, see, all of these things. I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 9 voicemails. Almost all of them are something exactly like this. Oh, hold on. You can't hear that, huh?
Uh-oh.
That's like not loud at all.
Put it on speaker?
I'm trying. It's like that was on speaker, actually.
We have coming up for sale, and just generally to see if you're out there looking to do any buying or selling these days. Give me a call when you get a chance at 813-477.
Oh, won't share his actual phone number. But literally, it's all these voicemails from brokers who are reaching out to me because they know I'm a buyer.
Uh-huh.
Literally, I can show you.
I believe it. Because all these loans, crazy. Because like how you already mentioned, all these loans are coming due.
Well, but they're looking for buyers because there's a lack of buyers. Once again, transaction volume down 50%, there's a lack of buyers. So what will happen though, so that means the time to build relationships with the brokers are right now.
Yeah.
Time to get yourself in a position to capitalize is right now. It's not in 6 months when the rates drop.
No.
Now, I believe it's always the time to buy. I believe that. I believe that there's always ways deals. To make deals work and there's always a time to buy. But right now is the time to put yourself in the position to capitalize on what's coming down in the pipeline.
Yeah,
I just believe that. So that's what people should be doing right now. Once we get to that point and rates start to drop, once again, there'll be money that floods in. That will be competition that floods in, which does not mean that it's impossible to buy. It means that it's more competitive to buy.
Yeah.
The time, man, is right now. And put yourself in a position to get ahead of the curve instead of continually be behind it.
No, it is so good. So good, dude. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there on that last thought. Did you have something?
No, that's it, though. That's my
thought. No, dude, because, all of these things, everybody talks about what's happening, what's going to happen. And rather than just sitting on your hands, not doing anything, start preparing. Yeah. Start building these relationships, these people that are going to have these deals as they start to come available. As Tyler showed us through his voicemails, a lot of those deals are already starting to become available.
Totally. And I'm not saying that the markets don't correct. Markets correct. That shit happens. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that it does correct. I'm saying that those things do happen. What I'm saying is that we play the long game, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And the deals that we put ourselves in a tough spot on were deals that we did not play the long game. We played a short game. And real estate's a long-term play.
Right.
So if you're putting debt in, you put in a long-term debt, man. People who get in trouble are people who get in trouble when they have to sell in an environment like we're in right this very second.
Right.
That's when the trouble happens. As long as you still have time left on your loans, you can play the long game. You can play the long game.
Right.
That's what you need to play.
Dude, that's so good. That's so good. So much value in that. Tyler, you often talk about one of the core values that we talk about, that we've been talking about since we started the podcast, is being solution-oriented and controlling what you can control and not getting too caught up in those uncontrollables, right? Mm-hmm. Market rates and what the market decides to do is one of those uncontrollables that we cannot control, right? We don't decide when the Fed wants to slash them, whether they're going to slash them large like they did in the 80s, or if they're just going to do it slowly like you're predicting. We can't control those things, right? It's all speculation and it's all in preparation to what may happen.
Yeah.
Right? How does being self-oriented, or not self-oriented, solution-oriented, and taking ownership in yourself and in your business, how does that apply to what's going on right now?
I think it applies to everything that's going on right now, and but just like everything that really, there's always problems, you know. So I think it applies far past just the markets currently. I think that it just applies as literally a principle of life. Like, I was talking to my IR team, and there was some things with our investor portal that we use that we had just became a victim of circumstance because we just felt like, well, they said this, and so we're just stuck to this. I just don't believe that. I believe that thinking bigger means to think long term. It also means to just think outside the box and believe. Just believe that there is a way. Like, most people, what they'll do is they'll make decisions given whatever the current circumstances are. And listen, this is massive for you in your life, because I promise you that you do the same thing. So do I in certain situations. Whatever the current situation is, we make decisions based on what is currently happening in our life, and that dictates our belief for the future. So what we do is we make a decision based on the current, and we project that current perspective into the future. If things are going great currently, we project greatness in the future. But the downside is when things are not going great in the present, we project, well, not so great in the future. That's what we allow to happen. So if we're experiencing any sort of a struggle, any sort of tension, any sort of resistance in the present, we have to be able to get outside, thinking bigger, get outside of the current situation, circumstance, project the bigger picture, and determine what we would like to have happen. And then find solutions to make sure that happens. Even a better way is to determine, just remove yourself from the current situation, determine what you would like to have in the future, and then work your way back and be absolutely definite in your aim that this is what you want to have happen. Mm-hmm. For example, the IR team. We know that we want this outcome with communication to make it as easy for our investors to be able to move forward and make move forward to finalize docs that they need to. Well, if we know that this is the outcome we want and this is how we can get it done, well then, we're going to be resilient in finding solutions in the now to make sure that this is the future. Mm. And so I just got on the phone with them and I just painted the picture. It's like, no, that's not the state. Let's think creatively. We keep saying, I can't. And it's not, I can't, it's what?
How can I?
I preach this all the time, but it's so easy to fall back into this state. Yep. And so then we just literally be like, okay, let's literally brainstorm how we can make this a reality. Let's brainstorm. Let's think through it. And we start thinking through. And once again, when I say it's a way of thinking, that's a way of thinking. See, I have this conversation with them. I already know it. I literally can already see, I'm telling you, I can already see how to make it happen. But I don't want to just come in and be like, this is how, because that doesn't create creative thinking. I want to teach a way of thinking. And a way of thinking is to just be, this is what needs to happen. How do we make it happen? And just be resilient in the fact that we can make it happen. Having a belief that we can actually make it happen. Make sense?
So good. Yeah, so good. So whatever happens in the market, it really comes down to your belief.
Yeah.
And being able to overcome those challenges, dude. And dude, I love how you talked about, I loved that, man. I love the visual that you gave there with your hands. Definitely tune into YouTube if you weren't watching. The present projects the future, right?
A lot of the times, yeah.
So when you set your future, when you set that goal, I loved how you just painted that, dude. If you can set your future and act now into the future, you can project that positively rather than being so stuck on, the market problems or whatever the problem is that you're facing.
That's it.
So good.
Actually have the faith that you can do that.
Right, right.
So many people, we get rooted in fear in those moments. And fear is the most powerful emotion in the world, except for one other. The only emotion that can overcome fear is faith. That's it. So faith comes from looking to the future and working backwards. That's what it comes from. Even more detrimental, a lot of the people will work from the past to the present. Meaning whatever's happened in the past, that's what's going to dictate. So if they've had a shitty past, then their future is also going to be shitty, right? We just have to have faith of a bigger, better, grander, and our ability to get there.
Think bigger.
Thinking bigger.
I love it. Tyler, thank you so much, dude. I think that today's episode has really shined a light on the market, what's going to happen, what may happen, but really what it is that we can do to really prepare ourselves for it.
That's it.
Right. And it's be solution oriented.
And can I say one more thing with this?
Yeah.
As we wrap it up, because confidence doesn't come from just being like, oh, everything's going to be great. That's not where confidence comes from. Mm-hmm. That'll actually cause you to fuck you up in a lot of ways. And it's better than the negative side of things, right? Projecting positivity is great. But I believe confidence comes by actually knowing the result that you want and then doing research and everything you need to get solution-based in the current landscape with the faith to know that you can get here. Because if you have the faith to know that you can get here in the future, well, then you're going to be looking for things, people, resources, tools, anything to help you get to the future. But if you don't believe that that's even a possibility, you will not do the work necessary in the now to make that future a reality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you just have to have it. So that's where confidence comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the action of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or faith is the action.
That's what I mean. It's the action of faith.
Oh, yeah.
Is where that confidence comes from. Yeah, dude. I love that. I love that. Ty, Hawaiian value to wrap up today's episode.
Yeah, ho'omau. Ho'omau is really enduring. It's enduring, man. It's enduring, man. It's when we ho'omau, we create solutions to solve problems. We just know. It's literally what we talked about. Whatever the problem is, we know that we can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the problem we're facing, we're strong enough to get through it. We ho'omau through these kind of things, right? We endure to the end, knowing that if we endure, the end will be beautiful.
Yeah.
And if we don't, well, we're going to have to dial in even more ho'omau, in the future.
Yeah. No.
But we do that by what you said, solution-based thinking, focusing on the controllables, and knowing that we will become better, stronger, all of it. Like, do my frame of thinking, and I know you know this, and dude, you're wired the same way. And it's not that we're wired the same way. We've trained our mind to think in this way,
right. Which
is whatever the situation happens, whatever frustration happens, whatever stumbling block happens, whatever challenge happens, it's like the narrative becomes,
bet.
It's going to be a great story.
Yeah. Bet. Yeah.
It's going to be a great story.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be great. So it's going to be part of my greatness, man. Uh-huh. This is going to be part of our greatness as a company. This is going to be part of whatever.
Right.
It's like, but like you said, bet. Let's go.
Yeah. I love it. Dude, I love it.
Ho'omau.
The one thing that I do want to like add on to that too is like the importance of finishing. The importance of enduring, of having that resilience, of having that, you know what I mean? Of pushing through and finishing what it is that you started. Right? You talked about how you get to the end and it may be beautiful and it may not be beautiful, but you got to the end and that alone is a beautiful thing because you got to the end. And in the end, you can dissect it, you can analyze it, you can look at it, but you have to get to the end to be able to do that, to be able to learn from whatever it is that you're doing. Got to get to the end.
So good, man.
So, dude, that's that. That was just my little addition there to the Hawaiian value.
But
Tyler, thank you for today's episode.
Because I actually love that so much, bro. Because we have, we do a value every month.
Yeah.
And it just, bro, it's perfect because our value this month is dependability.
Yeah.
And Brett asked the question literally last night. What does it mean, or what does it take to be dependable? And Paxton. Marley's answer was awesome. She said something actually along the lines of confidence and being persistent or something. It was like a freaking great answer. But really what it came down to, what we decided as a family, is that it comes down to self. Honoring self-promises. And honoring self-promises is saying you're going to do something. It's literally what you just said. It's saying what you're going to do and doing it. Because when you say what you're going to do and you do it, and it's the little things, dude. It's the little things. Waking up on time. All these things that we do.
Sure.
When you do that, you become dependable.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you become dependable with somebody else? Well, you have to be dependable with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, then they can trust you. You're consistent, right?
So good.
So I love that, bro. I appreciate that addition.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. My pleasure, man.
So, hey, listen, if you found some value from the episode, go share, go like, go leave a review, all those kind of things. And we appreciate the shares, man. It lights us up when we see them. So tag us in them to make sure that we do see them. And then, damn it, live always with aloha. Peace.